In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Time once more for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest this time around is Jen Dangora, who fronted Jenny D and the Delinquents and was in the Downbeat 5 as well, both noted groups on the Boston music scene. And her latest project is the Shanghailos, which pairs her with guitarist Dan Kopko from Watts. The debut release is the EP Kick It Like a Wicked Bad Habit, out on Rumbar Records, and it sports our recent coolest song in the world, Sway Little Player. We'll hear a bit of that now, followed by my interview with Jen on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Hey you, I saw your name on a matchbook cover. You said you're looking for another lover. Who's gonna mend your true love ways?
Hey you, yeah, I was wearing another guy's jacket. I had to kick him like a wicked.
And I am joined today by Jen Dangora, front woman and one of the two guitarists in the Shanghailos from Boston, Massachusetts. How are you, Jen?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. For about a year now, I've been asking people how they've been doing in these pandemic times. But starting with you, I'm going to ask first if you or anyone you know has gotten a vaccination yet.
A few friends I've seen have gotten it, and their parents, and they have started vaccinating people here where I work.
Oh, where do you work?
At Tufts University in Boston.
Oh, wow. Well, were you ever ill or anyone close to you?
No, not close to me. Some relatives that don't live nearby, but not really. Luckily so, you know, I feel grateful.
Yeah. Well, how recent was your 1 year anniversary since playing out a regular club, or is it still upcoming?
No, the anniversary of our last live gig was last weekend, past weekend. We played at a club called Once. And for this band, the Shanghailos, it was our only real live gig. We had played a Christmas party before that, and that was it.
Wow. So just the one gig since the band really being active. Am I understanding it right?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, you guys are chomping at the bit.
Yes, we are. So, I mean, as you can imagine, we're just, you know, getting off the ground. You know, we've got all this energy and all this stuff happening, and then boom, you know. So we've gotten creative, you know, in the downtime anyway.
Well, we'll talk about that in a moment too, but I want to ask you about the fact that you've played in a number of different bands on the Boston music scene, bands that we also spin here in the Underground Garage, including the Downbeat 5, and Jenny D and the Delinquents. How many other groups have you been in?
I'm still in a band called The Dents, kind of like a punk pop kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I was in a very short-lived gospel group. That was a lot of fun. And I'm also in a band that is made up of all women that only gets together around the Hot Stove Cool Music event for the Red Sox.
Oh, what do you call the name of that project?
Band of Their Own, or BOTO.
Wow, cool. So how old were you when you started playing guitar?
So my first band was the Downbeat Five with J.J. Rassler, and I wasn't even really supposed to be in the band. He was writing songs with Joe King from the Creators, and basically I got jealous, and so we formed a band, and he basically said, if we form this band, you have to sing. And I was terrified, but he kicked me, and, you know, and I did it. The rest is history. And one of our first gigs was actually Little Steven gig with the Pretty Things. I was absolutely terrified.
Well, you know, I think we played one time with my band. I'm in a band called the Woggles, and we played.
Yes.
So was that at the casino? We did. It was this.
Yeah, at Foxwoods with the Zombies.
That's right. Now, did you guys, at the Downbeat Five, you guys covered that Animal song, Outcast. Did you have Hilton Valentine play with you that night? Did he come up on stage?
I believe he did, yes.
Yeah, that was a bizarre. Well, he was great, and the song is great, of course. But playing a casino was definitely an odd experience for ourselves. Had you done any other gigs like that, or was that all par for the course of the Downbeat Five?
No, not at all. I mean, that was strange for us, as it was for you, and even more so because we were playing with all of these bands that we really, really respected, you know? So we were in this moment where it's like, wow, you got to be kidding me. There's this gig. And then it's at a casino with smoke machines. Just bizarre. So I feel really, really grateful to have had, you know, that time with Hilton, you know?
So you mentioned the Downbeat Five sort of being your debut on stage as part of a rock and roll band. Tell me about when you were growing up. Were your the parents the type that always had like the radio on or records playing, or was your music journey more of one of rebellion?
Well, no, my dad every week would spend a little bit of the very little money we had on records, and so we'd bring records home all the time. And so I grew up with 45s and, you know, and 33 and a third. You know, I got an earful of the Stones, lots of Stones, the Beatles, Outlaw Country, Waylon and Willie and Merle Haggard and T-Rex and all kinds of stuff. And my mom loved the popular side of things. So there was a lot of Beach Boys, too.
Well, in the Downbeat Five, you covered a couple of songs that the Shangri-Las did, Dum Dum Diddy and Out in the Streets, and then in Jenny Dean and the Delinquents, that girl group vibe is front and center. And in the Shanghailos, that sense, that girl group thing is still very present. Why do those sounds in particular resonate so much with you?
I think I really, you know, in my journey as a singer, it's been hard to really find where I belong. Vocally, it's not a technically great voice. It's a little rough around the edges, a little, you know, tinny at times. So it's like, it's kind of like where I grew up. It sounds like my accent, you know, it's very Massachusetts or Boston. So I started, you know, trying to identify with bands and artists that I loved. And the one that I always kind of came back to was Ronnie Spector. And I love girl group music anyway. I mean, I just love the stories and the emotion and the drama and the melody lines and all the great songwriters that wrote for them. So it just was a natural fit.
You know, I just want to add here about your accent and such. I think that's really a strength of your singing. And I hope you recognize it that way, the character of your voice just gives a great quality. And I interpret it as a strength. I hope you see that as well. Let's talk some about the Shanghailos. My understanding is the summer of 2019, that's when the magic starts to happen. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. So I was invited by Dan to sing a couple of songs at a Clash cover gig that he does with a band that he put together. And I'm not even going to attempt to say the name. It's like Super Black Market Clash or something like that, but I know I'm butchering it. And so he contacted me after that about maybe doing some music together, which is incredibly surprising to me because I didn't think I did those songs that well at all. I was psyched, and then we got together and we're like, hey, we got a thing, I think, you know.
You mentioned Dan, and here we're speaking of Dan Kopko. He's the other guitarist and singer in the band. Who is he, and why was being with him in a band such a great idea?
He is a guy that's pretty well known in the Boston rock scene, in our age group anyway. And he's got a great band called Watts. They've done a lot, and they've opened up for, you know, like Cheap Trick and people like that. And I have the utmost respect for him. And then when we got together to write, I didn't know how that was going to be at all, because when I write, it's a very like heady thing, and I go to a place, and you know, so I didn't know how that was going to work at all. And it was just so comfortable, and he does so much, like he sings and plays guitar and bass and drums. And so anytime I send him a demo, he sends it back with like, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, how do you do that? You know? So it was just perfect. It's just been a blast.
Well, we need to give some love to the rhythm section too. So you've got Lee Harrington on the bass and Chuck Ferreira on drums. Are they also Boston music scene veterans?
Yes. So Lee is way more famous or infamous than Dan and I. He's in a band called The Neighborhoods. I believe they refer to themselves as The Hoods now. But of course, they're like legends in their own right in Boston anyway. And they've got, you know, nationwide acclaim and probably worldwide. And then Chuck is just, you know, one of those secret weapons in Boston that people are really starting to know about. He's played in many, many bands, but he's also played with Greg Hawkes of the Cars, and maybe with the Motels. I'm not sure about that one, but he really is. He's a secret weapon, and his fills are brilliant.
Well, our coolest song in the world this week is Sway Little Player. It's the opening track to your debut EP, Kick It Like a Wicked Habit. And that particular song is also available as part of a 7-inch single from Rumbar Records. It's paired with a song from our very own Genya Raven. She does a version of I Who Have Nothing. Have you ever met Genya or done shows with her?
No. And I keep saying, you know, we have to do something. We have to do something. And I mean, I've met her over the phone, and I've met her through email. She got in touch with me to actually collaborate on a song together, and that's one of the bonus tracks that you get when you get the single. And that was amazing. Like, it pinched me when she got in touch with me anyway, because she's like, talk about a legend. Oh my God. You know, she's absolutely paved the way for rock and garage women. And she's just, I mean, I look up to her so much. I'm gushing.
Yeah. Well, as well you should.
Yes.
So when and where did you record all the songs on the EP?
So that's been challenging. So we did a lot of the demo stuff at Dan's house, and we've had to finish the rest of it with a combination of stuff. So the drummer will go into a studio. I think he goes to Mad Oak. I go to Q Division for my vocals, because that's where my husband works. And he helps me out, but I've done some vocals at our house, and Dan does everything out of his house. So we're absolutely lucky that we have those avenues available to us. Oh, and I think we may work with Dave Minahan from The Neighborhoods at his studio, Woolly Mammoth, but I think he goes to a few places. So it's been a challenge, but we're doing it, you know.
All right, you sure are. In fact, let me think here for a second. You mentioned Ed, and here we're talking about Ed Velasquez. He is he's your husband, is that right?
Yes, Ed Velasquez.
And now my notes say he produced Sway Little Player. Is that correct too?
No. So he produced Stay, another track on the record.
Okay. And was anyone involved in producing the other cuts?
I would probably attribute that to Dan and the brilliance of Other Secret Weapon in Boston. He's a guy who mixes. His name is Pat DeCenzo, and he's brilliant.
And so for this particular song, Sway the Little Player, whose initial idea for the song was it first?
Oh, Dan's, for sure. So we bring in song ideas, you know, and we toss them back and forth and stuff. And that one, Sway, was definitely one of his.
Well, I love it in there how he asks you how you call your lover boy and you respond with your best Sylvia Robinson. Was Love is Strange? Yeah. Was Love is Strange a starting point for Sway Little Player?
I don't think it was. I think actually he gives a little bit of a nod to Buddy Holly at the end of the song.
Yeah.
So I think it was more, what's the track called? Is it Words of Love?
Words of Love, yeah.
Yeah. So I think he was going for that kind of a thing.
I really love that you guys do that as a duet, by the way. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's I love singing with him. It's a good voice. He's got a great voice.
Well, two great voices. The EP is out now. Any plans for a full length?
Yes. So we are currently recording songs for the full length. They should be done at the end of April, I want to say. And so we'll be looking for our full length probably June.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, why put out the EP already? Why not wait a couple more months and just have a full-length album? Why did you want to go ahead and get the EP out?
Because, and especially during these times, I think there's so much flooding the quote-unquote airwaves, you know, digital airwaves, you know, I guess you could say. So people's attention is very short. You know, it's like everybody's got everything available to them now. And so we wanted to get these songs out first. And another reason is because we've been with them for so long and we're already moving on writing wise to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I guess you could say there are a few reasons. You know, first, we want to give people a bite size, you know, version of what we do as a teaser. So maybe that will, you know, gain more interest for the full length. But then the other thing is we're already writing new stuff.
So you mentioned only having been able to do like one proper live show and then everything is locked down. Have you done or explored doing any streaming shows?
We know people who have, and we haven't done that yet. It's been kind of an idea. And you know, maybe if we're still in this lockdown mode, which I'm assuming we will be in June, that's what we would do for the release. That would be my guess anyway.
Well, I should point out that you do have some videos for these tracks that are on the EP, and those are pretty fun to check out. Talking about the other three original songs on the EP, there's Funeral Home Mint, Stay, which you talked about your husband Ed having a hand in producing, and also Skipping Records. Now, these three songs are also all Dangora Copco originals, right?
Yes.
And did you write these all about the same time then?
Yeah. So, well, yes and no. Sway, I just found out yesterday, actually, from Dan, was a song that had been hanging out for like 20 years, I guess he said. And Stay, for me, I had been sitting on Stay for about 10 years. And then the other two, say Funeral Home Mint, I wrote when we started the band, and Skipping Records, I believe Dan wrote when we started the band.
And in both those cases, a Funeral Home Mint and Skipping Records, were these situations, or like the Funeral Home Mint, you coming up with an outline of the song and then you sent him a demo and then you returned it with a lot of ideas added to it?
Yes.
And with
Skipping, so that's how he rolls.
Right, you mentioned that. And so then with Skipping Records, since that was one that sort of started initiated on his end, so he presented you with a demo of that, and it was kind of like it's pretty much a whole song already.
Actually, there were three other songs that he presented me with, mm-hmm. and none of them were Skipping Records. So there are two that we haven't even played since, you know, the demo sessions when we first got together, and then one called Aces, Eights, and Heartaches that'll be on the full length.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see, with Skipping Records, that one features lead vocals from Dan. And Sway Little Player, your hearts are beating 45 RPMs, and then Skipping Records, we're talking about it, you know, Skipping Records, Stuck on a Record. Are either of you guys, you or Dan, big record collectors?
Yeah. So when I was in the Downbeat Five and married to JJ, we were avid record collectors. Honestly, don't know if Dan is. We haven't really talked about it. So thanks for bringing that up so I can talk to him about it. But I used to collect records all the time with JJ. And I haven't really done that lately because I have a daughter, and I think she actually collects more records than I do. But I'm busy buying dance shoes and things like that.
that's fine. Well, in the video for Skipping Records, I mentioned you guys do a number of cool videos. You've got a great one for Sway Little Player. And in Skipping Records, it's you guys. Well, you're in the foreground. In the background, there are records spinning. And, you know, I was trying to figure out, what are the artists on those records that are spinning in the background? And sometimes I couldn't quite even make out what the labels were. I think I saw one that's definitely Atlantic. So did you guys choose which records are in the video?
I know the guy who did our videos did.
Well, you have to find that out for me and let me know, because I thought that was a pretty cool, very cool idea, actually. Well, we're going to take a listen to Skipping Records here in a moment. But first, I have to say, you know, Jen, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you so much. And I'm so glad that you remembered that gig. I was totally going to bring that up. But it's been such an honor to meet you, and an honor to be on this. So, and thanks for choosing us, too.
Oh, of course. And I look forward to rocking out with you when we're on the far side of the current times, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right. Well, okay, here's Skipping Records from the Shanghai Lows off their EP Kick It Like a Wicked Bad Habit in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Love is like a kick in the eye.
That's the Shanghai Lows off their debut EP, Kick It Like a Wicked Bad Habit, available from Rumbar Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Jen Dangora for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. And next time, join me when my guest will be Mike Campbell, famed guitarist in Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. We'll talk about his years with Tom and also Mike's own band, The Dirty Knobs. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.